that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
I think we should do that tonight. One day, every knee will bow, but let's just shout that out together tonight. Can we say that? Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Can you say that with me? Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, come on. This is real. It's true. It's true. One day, every knee will bow, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh my, that ought to change the way we feel tonight. It does me. Just thinking about that, when Paul shared that, I just thought, you know what? Man, the first thought I had was, you know what? Let's just bag the sermon and worship and start the party. I mean, come on. But no, that's not going to happen. I prepared and we're going to go through it. Jesus Christ is Lord. I get the privilege of continuing with our hero series. And tonight, we're going to talk about Joseph from the Old Testament. I don't pretend to be a Bible scholar. I'm pretty much just an ordinary guy, probably a blue-collar guy, if you will. But I believe that God can speak through me. I believe that God can speak through you. I trust that and I believe that. I read in Proverbs yesterday, Proverbs 16. God brought to attention this verse. He who gives attention to the word will find good. Now don't miss that. He who gives attention to the word will find good. You have that choice tonight. I have that choice. If we give attention, pay attention to God's word, because we're going to read it and we're going to talk about it, we'll find good. That's a promise from God. And goes on to say, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. And you and I can live this verse out tonight. We can. We can. As we look at God's word, we pay attention to it. We trust that is from God. And we can be blessed and walk in that. And it can change us tonight. But most of that comes from us. I mean, God's in the house. All right, and his word is true, and he is faithful, and he'll take care of us, and he'll make sure that we learn from him one way or another. And tonight's one of those opportunities. Anytime we open up God's word and we look at it, oh my, don't miss it. Don't get distracted. Honestly, this is just an opportunity to grow, be more like Christ. So I'm going to pray and ask God to help us out tonight. I appreciate your prayers with me. Let's pray to that God that our tongues just confess to. Jesus Christ, you are Lord. You are God. Lord, and we're here for you and because of you. Father God, we want to hear from you. Lord God, you know, apart from you, there's just really nothing much I have to say, God. So I just pray tonight, these next few moments, that you would lead us, you'd guide us, you'd direct us. God, teach us through Joseph. He went through so many different things. What do you want us to learn tonight? What do you want us to walk away from so that we might be more like you? Just show us, God. Still our hearts. Open our minds so that we might hear from you. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so Joseph comes from the Old Testament, and honestly, there's just so much scripture that you can get lost in it. And I did for a while trying to prepare for this, and it was a good journey. But for tonight's purposes, I'm going to just jump through some different things. I'm going to try to pull out some verses and just some different things that God put on my heart that I think that we can learn from this Old Testament hero, Joseph. Joseph lived through some things. Some difficult things, absolutely. Life can be hard, but Joseph persevered. And I think we can learn from that. Because oftentimes life can be hard right now for you and I. And we need to learn how to persevere like Joseph did. So let's begin. I want to just share five lessons on perseverance. As I looked at Joseph's life, there's just five different things that I kind of pulled out that I think that we can kind of park on and look at and read a few verses and hopefully God will speak to our hearts on that. So Joseph, And we can look at his lineage. Joseph is actually a great-grandson of Abraham. His father was Jacob, whose father was Isaac. So unlike some Bible characters, Joseph, we can look right where his parents walked, his grandparents. It's in the Bible. So his lineage, we know a little about Joseph, what track he came down. Actually, we know some things about his family. But first, I want to talk about just perseverance. And in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, James addresses this issue of perseverance. Because Joseph's life is definitely perseverance. He persevered through a number of things. Here's what James has to say. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Perseverance must finish its work. God never wastes a hurt. So some of the things that you and I might go through, some of the things that you might be going through that are hard, God will not waste that hurt. He will use it for you, for your character. You may build your character. It may come up sometime later in your life. But that perseverance, that is a part of life. Things will be hard. And James just points out that consider it pure joy. And that's hard for me sometimes, just to consider it pure joy. My washing machine broke the other day. That's pure joy. Thank you, God, for this $250 repair bill. But it was. Somehow, some way, in the grand scheme of things, my God felt that at that moment, my washing machine needed to break down. Maybe it was a test on if I would lose it or get mad at the guy fixing it, which I was tempted to do. It's like, $250, come on, just a pump. I could change that thing out. But God, there's just hard things may come your way. And they do, and my way. And we need to learn how to walk through and how to learn through them. And perseverance, I think part of that consider pure joy, as I've pondered on that a little bit, I think it comes to a place where you and I, you know what, we need to submit and we need to surrender to a holy God. God is real. God is in control. And in order for us to persevere, oftentimes we just need to surrender. We need to yield to God's plan, whether we understand it or not. I like this this quote. When our convictions are yielded to him completely, he is able to give himself to us in all his fullness. Until that is so, he cannot trust us. How true it is that we often miss the joy and strength of our Christianity because by withholding ourselves from Christ, we make it impossible for him to give himself to us in all the fullness of his grace and truth. I think this parallels with what Paul talked about earlier about pride. And we withhold. We try to gut it out a lot of times. When typically the answer would be yield, submit. God, you are God. This is your plan. I need to stay on task and just follow you through it. And certainly that's where Joseph had to learn many lessons. And as we look at his family, there were some things broken. His father, Jacob, we can read in the scriptures, made some mistakes. Man, he had multiple wives. He made some serious mistakes. He actually connived his brother out of the blessing of their father. Let's look at that. Joseph definitely had to persevere through treachery. He had to overcome a lot of his father's mistakes. So here's a situation where Jacob's father, Isaac. Jacob, remember, is Joseph's father. But there's a time in Jacob's life when his father told him to go. He was going to give the blessing to the next son, which is supposed to be Esau. That's Jacob's brother. But Jacob connived and snuck in and got an animal skin that was furry. His brother Esau had hairy arms, and so he put this hairy things on his arm so his dad, who was almost blind, about to die, would think he was his brother so he could receive his father's blessing. Bad move, because you will reap what you sow down the road. Then Isaac said to Jacob, we can look at this scripture in Genesis Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not. Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. Are you really my son Esau? He asked. I am, he replied. And he said, my son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing. And Jacob brought it to him, and he ate, and he brought him some wine, and he drank, and he gave him his blessing. So Joseph's father, Jacob, is making some mistakes, some integrity issues here that Jacob has. And as we get into the story, even the start of it, we'll see that the family unit was broken in the first place. He and his brothers picked up some of Dad's bad habits, without a doubt. And I think even in that, you know, any breakdown in the husband and wife relationship has serious spillover effects in all the relationships in the home. I think we can look at that and say, you know what? We need to work on our marriages. I need to be a better husband. I need to be a better father. I need to be a man or woman of integrity right now, prepare myself for when I do become a husband or a wife or a mother or a father. It's huge. God gives us a big responsibility in the family unit. We can look at just the brokenness starting out the gate with Joseph. His family, it's broken. There's some messed up things. His dad has multiple wives. His dad shows favoritism to his second wife, Rachel, who happens to be Joseph's mother and Benjamin's mother. And we'll read about both of them further and just see how we start out where he showed favoritism. Another parental mistake. And even especially with our children, you cannot show favoritism. That's a mistake. And maybe that happened in your life when you were younger. Maybe you're trying to deal with that with your brothers and sisters. But we can learn from that. So let's just continue on. The treachery is, okay, what happens to Joseph? Joseph lacked discernment. So Joseph had some dreams. And like I said, I'm going to paraphrase. I'm just going to talk you through a lot of the scripture. I'm not that fast of a reader. Otherwise, we'd go verse by verse. But I'm just going to walk you through some of it. So Joseph had a couple dreams. And the dreams actually pointed to his brothers, at least the way Joseph interpreted it, that his brothers would bow down to him. His 11 brothers would actually bow down to him in these dreams. So Joseph's all excited about that. And so he shares with his brothers that, hey, I had this dream, and all of you guys are going to bow down to me. And they're going, oh. And so some bitter root starts to grow there. And not only that, but their father is showing favoritism to Joseph. He said, Joseph is he's a favorite. So he had Joseph, he made him a special coat. So Joseph starts off, and his brothers despise him. Actually, they end up hating him. And so here's Joseph, he's this 17-year-old guy just going along trying to go through life. He really did have these dreams, and he was excited about them, and he told them to his brothers, but he didn't show discernment. He shared, you know, I had this dream from God. And he said, the dream was from me. It was my thing. And you will bow down to me. And they're like, you little creep, no way. We are not going to bow down to you. But that kind of starts the whole thing. And that, I think that that's a direct correlation just to the family unit was broken. And so, lo and behold, Joseph's brothers, they don't like him. They want to do away with him. They want to get rid of him. So Joseph's father, Jacob, sends him to see his brothers. I want to talk a little about discernment because Joseph he could have taken a little more time. He could have delivered that message a little bit different. Maybe Joseph was a little proud in the way he shared with his brothers. I like this. The skill that enables discernment in Scripture is the skill that enables us to differentiate. It is the ability to see issues clearly. We desperately need to cultivate this spiritual skill that will enable us to know right from wrong. We must be prepared to distinguish light from darkness, truth from error, best from better, righteousness from unrighteousness, purity from defilement, and principles from pragmatics. Discernment. I pray for discernment every morning. That's one of my prayers. God, give me wisdom and discernment today. I need that from you, my God, my Lord. Help me make decisions today that would honor you. And that's a good prayer to pray. I would suggest you put that in your prayer pouch. God, give me wisdom and discernment today. Help me understand things that are coming my way. I need your kind of discernment, not my own. And Joseph lacked that from the get-go here. But God is faithful, and he's going to teach Joseph some lessons for sure. So the next thing Joseph needs to persevere through is temptation. We start off with treachery is because, yes, Joseph's brothers were upset with him. And Joseph was sent by his father to give him a message. So he comes over the hill. They're out in the fields tending sheep. And little Joseph comes running up. Well, I guess it wasn't little, 17. Comes running out there and gives them this message. And they said, let's kill him. They got together. Let's kill Joseph. Can you imagine that? Your brothers want to kill you? And they do. They grab him. They take his coat. Probably beat him up. And they throw him. And one of the brothers says, no, let's not kill him. Let's throw him in that cistern. Let's throw him in that pit, in that hole over there. Let's not kill him just yet. Let's just throw him in that pit. So here's our Joseph, kind of a proud young man at 17, in a cistern, in a hole, in an empty hole, in a pit. His brothers throw him into a hole and leave him for dead. Can you imagine being down in that pit by yourself? There's no way out. Your brothers have thrown you down there and left you for dead. And that's where our character Joseph is. He's down in there. That had to be gut-wrenching. What was going through his mind? What is going on here? He must have been frantic. He must have been terribly lonely and scared. But that's what happened. That's where he was. And then we go into this next phase of his life. His brothers sell him. They decide, you know what? Here's an idea. How about let's pull him out of the hole and sell him. Some people were coming by, and they realized we can make some coin here if we sell him as a slave. So they did. They pulled him out of the pit, and he's probably thinking, oh, they came to their senses. They're pulling me out of the pit. And then they sell him as a slave. How could you overcome that? Wouldn't that really make you upset? I'd be mad, without a doubt. They sell him as a slave to this group of Egyptians that are coming by. They sell him. So he ends up as a slave in this Egyptian, in this guy's house. He's a slave. And that's where now temptation comes into the play. One thing was special about Joseph, and we'll look at right here. Joseph gained favor. Here's one of the most important section of verses, I think, that start this story out. In Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 through 4, the Lord was with Joseph. I think that's the key. Zero in on that. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered. So here he is. He's a slave, got pulled out of a pit. He thought he was going to die, and now his life starts to prosper. Why? Because the Lord was with him. And he lived in this house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, it's obvious. You can tell when the Lord is with someone. Walk different. If people are really head over heels in love with Jesus Christ, with the Lord, with God, you can see it in them. And I think that's how Joseph looked. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. So now, this little shepherd boy is in charge of everything his master owns. And temptation comes into play. And this is where we can start to learn from Joseph as he perseveres through temptation. Especially when things are going your way, your job's going real well, you're starting to make a lot of money, and everybody's saying, good job, man, you're the best at that. You're so good. And you're like, yeah, I am. And temptation comes into play. And you and I deal with this all the time. And we can learn from how Joseph dealt with this temptation. Let's just look how Joseph deals with temptation. Number one, he was content. He worked hard. He was content in what he did. Okay, he was sold as a slave, and he just worked hard. God showed him favor. God was with him, and he was content. He worked hard. He served his master day in, day out, day in, day out. So much so that the master gave him charge of everything. He was faithful, a man of integrity. Even despite what had happened in his family, God had taught him some things, maybe in that pit, when he turned to God and cried out to him. And now things were changing. I like this verse in Hebrews. I relate it to contentment. Keep your eyes free from money, free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. There's a promise. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Joseph was content. I like this quote from Benjamin Franklin. Content makes poor men rich. Discontentment makes rich men poor. I think that's so true. I would just ask you tonight, are you content? Are you content? Am I content? Ooh, that's a hard question. Because we all want something, especially as Americans. Hurry up, it's been 5 minutes. Can I have it yet? Contentment. But this was a quality I think we can see as we look at this Bible character, Joseph. He was content and he worked hard, even in hard things, difficult things. I think that helps us with temptation, for working hard, for serving, because every job, everything we do, work at it as if for the Lord, because it is for the Lord. So get up and do it again and work hard and work hard and get up and do it again and be content and just work hard and don't complain and work hard for the Lord. Man, that's hard. But that's what God calls us to. And that helps us overcome, persevere through the temptations that will come our way. Temptations of all kinds of different things. They come our way every day. And we can learn from Joseph. He had a good strategy, no doubt. So here's our Joseph. He's working hard, and now his master's wife starts hitting on him day in and day out. Let's read this. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" Joseph knew if he stepped into this, it would be sin against a holy God. How could I do that? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. That's Joseph's good strategy. He refused to even be with her. So probably when he was doing the stuff that he does and he went by and he saw her, he'd probably go this way and hopefully she would go that way. That was just wisdom. Because he knew the situation. So that was his strategy. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to honor my God. And when I see her, I'm going to go out. We could learn from that, you and I. So one day, here he goes. She really calls him on the carpet this time. One day, he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand, and he ran out of the house. Ran out of the house. You know, I don't know what your temptation is, and they come in many different forms. Gossip, purity, whatever it might be, when you're sitting at the computer to take that next click to see something. I don't know what, we're all faced with it. And you know what yours is. And I know what mine are. But right here is a good picture of the way out. Get out. Get away from it. You will be tempted. That's not wrong. That's going to happen. I will be tempted. That's gonna happen. But what we do with that, how do we act on that? Well, just get out of there is a good idea. Take your thoughts captive. Make them obedient to Christ. That's a good verse to memorize. Oh, God, I want this thought. Make that obedient to you and get it out of my head. Help me. God always provides a way out. Look for it. We have to look for it. One of my favorite verses that's helped me a few times take thee out is this one. Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, the people in Corinth, he says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Oh, I'm so thankful of that. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out. There it is again. God will provide a way out. Look for it so that you can stand up under it. Right there is a promise from your God, from my God, that he will help each and every one of us. He will watch out for you. He will not give you a temptation which you cannot bear. You might say, you don't understand. My temptation, I cannot get away from it. That's a lie. Right here, this verse right here tells me that God will not tempt me beyond what I can bear. Whether it's a drug addiction or pornography, whatever your thing might be, this promise right here is for you and it's for me. And it's real and it's true tonight. And we need to grab a hold of it and live different. We do not have to constantly stumble and fall and trip and turn and wallow around in the mud. God teaches us in his word that he's right there with us. He will help us. He will help you and me walk through this life. He will help us persevere through all the stuff that we go through. Our God knows. I'm so thankful for that. We have a good God. God always provides a way out. Look for it. I'm just going to repeat that. Look for it. And Joseph did. And he left and he ran away. But then what happened? Then more bad things happened. Then the master's wife tells everybody when her husband gets home that night, she still has Joseph's coat. She says, Joseph came and he tried to make an advance at me, tried to take advantage of me. And her husband was furious. And so he threw Joseph in prison. Here's our Joseph. All right, he went from in the pit to in charge. Now to in prison. Oh my. We can learn how to persevere through disappointment. Certainly, he had to be disappointed. Now he's in prison for something he didn't do. What was going through his mind? God, what are you doing to me? What's going on? Why am I in prison? I didn't even hit on her. I didn't fall to that temptation. God's teaching him something here. God is helping him. God is walking him through something. He may not comprehend it, but Joseph kept his eyes on God. Okay, next step. Here I am in prison. All right, I'll make the best of it. And that's what Joseph did. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. This is in the book of Psalms. It talks about it. First he's sold as a slave. Then they bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons. Boom, into prison. And here's the scripture in Genesis. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. God has always been with our Bible character, our hero, our Joseph. He's still with him, even in this unbelievable situation. God was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. So he's in prison, and then God is with him. God shows favor, and Joseph probably just did everything they told him. He probably submitted to the authorities, and they took notice of him. And pretty soon, he's in charge of a bunch of stuff with the prisoners. So they show favor. So Joseph is even taking this situation, his imprisonment, and using it for good. He's persevering. How could you do that? I can't even imagine. I'd be a wreck. I'd probably lose my mind. I'd be so mad. I'd be whacking my head on the bars or something. But he trusted God. The Lord was with him. He persevered with his God. So that's some of the disappointment. But then it starts to make sense. Joseph's in prison. God had him there for a reason. Remember, our God is in control. Paul talked about him being a huge God. He's in control of the universe and everything. God's picture is much bigger than what we can comprehend. And so much so in this situation. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. And actually, a few verses later say that Joseph actually was given charge of these men. These were people with Pharaoh, real close. The cup bearer was important. He's the guy who took care of the cup and made sure he had wine. I mean, that's important. and the baker. But in the day, loyalty was hugely important. And somehow these guys breached their loyalty in this situation. So they were thrown in prison, and they come to know Joseph, and they are whining and griping and complaining, and they're scared just like anybody would be. But they both have God gives them a dream on the same night, maybe like 3 days after they're in there. God gives them a dream, and they're both kind of terrified because it's just very vivid. I don't know if you've ever had a dream where you woke up and said, "Did that happen?" And that's what these guys thought. So they had a dream, and they were scared, they're terrified. They didn't understand what it was. It was from God. And so Joseph noticed that they were struggling, and he reached out to them. He was thinking of others, even in his situation. He showed compassion on these two guys, on the baker and the cupbearer. And so Joseph says, I will interpret those dreams for you. And he does. He interprets the dreams for them, and it comes to just like he tells them it's going to happen. So Joseph tells them, he tells the cupbearer, some good things are happening. You're going to be restored to your position. You're going to be let out of prison, and you're going to be able to serve Pharaoh again. And he tells the baker, bad news, dude, but you're going to be hanged. And they must have thought, but the thing is, they both got let out at the same time, and the cupbearer indeed was restored his position. And while they're in prison, Joseph says to the cupbearer, okay, when you're up there with Pharaoh, don't forget to tell him about me. Tell him about me. Okay, remember me? I'm your friend. I'm the one that interpreted this dream. Help me out here. I need to get out of this prison too. So you be sure and tell Pharaoh. And they get out of prison. The baker is hung, and the cupbearer is restored to his position. But he forgot about Joseph. How do you forget? I think he just blew him off. He just blew him off for 2 years more. Joseph is in prison. Granted, he's in a different position than he was originally. He's probably not in shackles, and he's one of the wardens or one of the guys that they're helping out a lot. But nonetheless, he's still in prison. He still has no freedom. And this cupbearer forgets about him for 2 years. Again, how do you persevere through that? Joseph just trusted God. One of the great joys and challenges of life is to look expectantly for the hand of God in all of life's circumstances. I think that's probably what Joseph was doing. Okay, God, something's going on. So this is part of the plan. I'm meant to stay here for 2 more years. Evidently, you're working on my character, but I trust you. You are God. You are with me. You will help me persevere through this hard situation. And Joseph did. He trusted God. But for you and I, in our situations that we come up against, is that how we react? When hard things come our way, do we go crazy? We just lose it emotionally. He's like, oh, I can't believe this is going crazy. Or we just, okay, God. All right, you are God, and I'm in this traffic jam, and I'm going to miss that business meeting for some reason greater than I understand. Or is it like, I didn't hold up my middle finger. Do you and I react? I do. I react to my wife. I react to my kids. I react, oh, it's ugly sometimes. We persevere. We can look at this Bible hero and learn some things. All right. Okay. I'm in prison. Apparently for 2 more years. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? I'm just going to be content. I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to get up, and I'm going to do that again tomorrow. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to be content. I'm going to just work hard. I'm going to be content. Day in, day out, because you are God, and I'm not. I'm not in control. You are. So please do take control, and I'll look for when you come through, because God always comes through. He is faithful. His faithful love endures forever. He will come through in every situation. Oftentimes, we just have to be patient and wait. Wait it out. He'll come through. Oh, when's he going? I hope he comes through pretty soon. He will. At just the right time. His timing is perfect. It's impeccable. Only God's is. So yeah, Joseph must have been disappointed, but he kept going. And now things take a turn again. So eventually, after 2 years, the cupbearer talks to Pharaoh. Pharaoh has some dreams, and none of his magicians or anyone can interpret Pharaoh's dreams. And certainly his cupbearer is in the inner circle, and he's like, oh, duh. Yeah, I remember this guy in prison a couple years ago. His name was Joseph. He interpreted my dreams and the baker's dreams, and it actually... it came too. Actually, it was true. It actually happened. And he tells Pharaoh that. And what Pharaoh's like, bringing him on. That's the guy I need. So again, Joseph was patient and waited, and then boom. He's brought to the next place. And that's a whole nother thing to try to persevere through, is success when we do well. So let's look how Joseph did it. He was groomed by God. I really think that 2 years... the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. I think that 2 years was God helping teach him how to persevere. And we might just look at that and say, you know, that's just wrong. Well, no, it's not. Because God is good. What he does is right. And apparently Joseph needed a little more humbling. So God took him this route. And that's how... God continued to groom him and help him and build his character and all these hard things. How could you? I don't know how he persevered. It had to be with God's help, the things that he went through. Let's look at, remember, Abraham Lincoln had 2 failed businesses, 1 nervous breakdown, endured the death of a sweetheart, and was defeated for public office no less than 10 times over the space of almost 30 years. You know, whenever we think of Honest Abe, we think, yeah, there's a hero. You don't think about the 30 years where he struggled, where it was hard. But God built his character during that time, didn't he? Abe did a pretty good job when he got elected president. But there's a process that we are all right in the midst of. I'm in and you're in. I don't know about you guys, but I had a hard week, a confusing week. Thank you, God. Somehow, my God loves me so much that he's not going to hold that stuff out of my life. He's going to allow me to walk right through it because he loves me. And he knows that I need to be equipped with that experience. He knows I need to learn how to persevere. He knows I need to learn how to be humble. So he lets us and allows us to go through those situations, just like Joseph. And Joseph was humble. Let's listen to Joseph's words here. I cannot do it. So he's talking to Pharaoh about interpreting the dream. And Pharaoh tells Joseph, all right. You know, he's probably sitting there, okay, Joseph, interpret my dream. Okay, here we go, interpret my dream. And Joseph's like, you know what? I cannot do it. He was wise. Before he did this, he shaved, he cleaned himself up. He's a man of integrity. He went and he wanted to talk to Pharaoh. You know, he knew this was his chance, but he was humble. A change from when he was telling his brothers about his dreams when he was 17. Now he doesn't take the credit. He points to God. He says, I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Joseph says, it's not me. God, there is a God, and he can interpret this for you. And that's who we need to trust, and that's who we need to look to. There's a change. Joseph, in humility, stops taking the credit. He's learned. He's matured. He's persevered. He's changed. He's becoming the guy, the man that God wants him to be. And humility, I like this quote by William Temple, humility does not mean thinking less of yourself than of other people, nor does it mean having a low opinion of your own gifts. It means freedom from thinking about yourself one way or the other at all. Man, oh God, could help me get to a place where I understood that. That's a hard prayer, though, because he's probably going to put us in some situations. He will. He's faithful. He'll teach us how to be humble. He knows. Our God knows. Humility is a huge part of this Christian walk. It is. If there's anything, we need to study out and really try to understand what it means to be humble, you and I. Because we live in a country with a lot of freedoms, and it confuses us a bunch of times, I think. Most of the time we're confused. You get proud real easy. But Joseph had learned some humility here, and that's helping him in this situation. And there's this verse in Proverbs, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. You and I need to learn how to be humble. Look at this quote. I like this by J. Oswald Chambers. Not every man can carry a full cup. Sudden elevation frequently leads to pride and a fall. The most exacting test of all is to survive prosperity. I just think of America when I read that. I do. I go to different countries where things are much different than we have it. I just think we need to understand this prosperity came from God. It is His, all of it, every single bit of it. And here's Joseph. Now he's back in Pharaoh's favor. As a matter of fact, he interprets the dream. Now he's got to persevere through success in a number of ways. That's almost more difficult than just trying to get through a hard situation. Now things are going well. Actually, in the dream that he interpreted, he told Pharaoh there were going to be 14 years, 7 years, the crops were going to do really well, and it was going to be fantastic. And then for 7 years, there was going to be a drought. That was the dream that he interpreted for Pharaoh, and it came to fruition. So Pharaoh recognizes Joseph's, after he interprets a dream for him, he puts him in charge. Here he goes again. He goes from prison again to in charge. The only one on top of him in the whole world is Pharaoh. Joseph is put in charge of everything. Let's look at some more verses here. Now, Joseph was the governor of the land, the one who sold grain to all its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. As soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. Where do you come from? He asked. From the land of Canaan, they replied, to buy food. Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. So everything's coming around here. Joseph has lived some years, you know, maybe about 13 years later now. His brothers, it comes to fruition. They've stored all this grain. Joseph's in charge. He's the governor of the land. He's in charge of everything. So everybody, now the famine has begun, so everybody's looking for food. Everyone has to come to Joseph to get food. So sure enough, that happens in a country where his parents and his family are. And his brothers, they ran out of food. So Jacob, who's still alive at this time, sends his brothers to Joseph to get food. So they, all of his brothers, except for Benjamin, who shares the same mother, Rachel, as Joseph, the littlest one, Benjamin, was told to stay with Jacob. Then all the rest of the other brothers, they come to Jacob for food, and they bring silver. Joseph to get food, and they bring silver, and they pay for it. And here's where they first interact, and they didn't recognize Joseph. But he recognized them. Oh, the emotions that must have been going through his heart. Like, oh, those are my brothers. They betrayed me. He had a lot of power here right now. He could have just had them taken out. But he had to persevere through bitterness. Joseph made a choice to get better instead of bitter. But first, he wanted to put his brothers to the test. So they came, and Joseph said, you know, go, here's your food, go. And he said, he kind of grilled them a little bit, and he said, go back to your father and get your youngest brother. I want him to come here. Matter of fact, I'm going to keep one of your other brothers, Simeon, here with me. Pharaoh says, as a hostage. He's going to stay here with me because I want you guys to come back with your younger brother. So he's testing his brothers to see if indeed they had grown over these years too, if God had chosen to mature them a little bit. I think God has. Some changes have come about in his brothers as well. So they go back to his father, and they get back to his father, and Joseph actually had the people putting the grain in the sacks. He had them put their silver back in the sacks. So the brothers go back to their dad, and they say, oh, here's the grain, and they open it up, and they see the silver, and they're all trembling, it says. Oh, they were terrified, because they thought that Pharaoh was going to come and kill them. Here they had the silver somehow came back with them, and they're all terrified. And then they tell them the story. They say, well, we met this this the governor, and he sent us back with grain, and I don't know what happened with the silver, but honest, Dad, we didn't steal it or anything, but he told us to come back again with our younger brother Benjamin. And Jacob was still up to his old ways, and Benjamin was now one of his favorites as well, because it came from the mother Rachel. So Benjamin and Joseph were the favorites. Benjamin's now the favorite. Jacob, his dad, remember, thinks he's dead because his brothers actually brought back his multicolored special coat dipped in goat's blood and told their dad he's dead. And now they're back, and Jacob doesn't realize Joseph's alive, and now his brother's saying, well, we're supposed to take Benjamin with us over here, his next favorite. And he's struggled with over the decision, but then they had to go. So they came back again to get more grain and to release their brother. And that's where we pick it up now. Now Joseph is interacting with these guys. He's testing them. So he fills up their grain again. And he actually puts a special cup that is only Pharaoh's, and he had them put it in Benjamin's sack. So they released Simeon, and they gave him more grain. They released Simeon and said, be on your way. And they started to leave. They started to go back to Jacob. Then Joseph has tested him, and he tells his men, he says, go find him, go get him, go stop him. Go check their bag. Someone stole my cup. So they went and found him again, and his brothers are terrified. No, man, we brought silver, and somebody put it back in our sacks. We were honest men of integrity. We would never do anything against Pharaoh. And then sure enough, they say, you know, kill us. Kill the one who actually has the cup. If you find the cup, we are men of integrity. You go ahead and kill all of us. You kill the one who actually has the cup. They just say that. We're men of integrity. Go ahead and kill the one who has the cup in their sack. Sure enough, whose sack is it in? Benjamin's. So they find it in Benjamin's, and they go back to the city. And they go back to Pharaoh. Of course, Pharaoh knows all this is going on. Joseph knows all this is going on. And he's testing him. He's trying to figure out where his brothers have gone, how their hearts have changed, what has gone on in their life. And they did. Here is Judah speaking to Joseph. A change of heart. This is the same brother that wanted to kill Joseph. Judah. Wanted to have him thrown in the pit. He wanted to kill Joseph. Now he's coming to Benjamin's rescue. He's changed. His character's changed for sure. Your servant guaranteed, he's telling this to Joseph, your servant guaranteed the boy's safety to my father. I said, if I do not bring him back to you, I'll bear the blame before you, my father, all my life. Now then, please let your servant remain here as my lord's slave in place of the boy, and let the boy return with his brothers. How can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? No, do not let me see the misery that would come upon my father. And that breaks Joseph's heart. He said, these guys don't deserve to die. My brother is coming to bat for my other brother. Something's changed. They're only humans. They've made mistakes. I need to help them out here. And Joseph was forgiving. Joseph's had a change of heart. Imagine this scene. All of his brothers have come before him, including Benjamin. They're all there. He recognizes them. He recognizes Benjamin, his little brother from the same mother, and all of his brothers. And the love of God, compassion, just overwhelms him. Then Joseph could no longer control himself. He has them all in there. He could no longer control himself. Before all his attendants, he cried out, have everyone leave my presence. So there was no attendance there with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Can you imagine the scene? It's Joseph. He's going to kill us. We tried to kill him. He is alive. It's Joseph. They were just terrified. Rightly so. They thought he was going to kill him. But he had change. He had compassion. He wept. He said, oh, my brothers. And look at the compassion of this next verse. Then Joseph said to his brothers. Yeah, he's weeping. He's emotional. He's just breaking down. It's all the pain and all the perseverance and all the things that took him. God has taken him through. His brothers come in. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." Joseph gets it, that God had a bigger picture for his life. And if he hadn't been sold into slavery, if he hadn't been thrown into prison, all the people that he was now helping wouldn't have been helped. Joseph understood it. He finally understood it. He had to forgive them. That's just such a picture of Jesus Christ to me. Because we rebel and are prideful against this holy God. We sin against this God, this world, this planet. We sin against a holy God. He doesn't deserve it. But he forgives us. He chooses to forgive us by his blood. Last night, we had a baptism in Provo, and every time I see a baptism, it's just such a beautiful picture of God's forgiveness to me. There's nothing quite like it when someone has new, freshly accepted Jesus Christ into their life, and his forgiveness, his complete forgiveness for all the sins we take to our God. God, forgave us for all those sins on the cross by his blood. Every time I see that baptism, it just reminds me of Christ. And it's a symbol of him going down into death for us. And by his blood, washing us clean. On the cross, he washes us clean. And he sees our sin no more. That's our God. All of these Bible characters that we've looked at for the last 7 weeks, every single story points to our God. It's setting the stage for Jesus. Points to God. Points to God. The Bible, every story, every character, everything that God knit together in his word points to Jesus Christ and his forgiveness, what he did for you and for me. That's beautiful. I'm so thankful that Joseph persevered through all the trials he did. I hope I don't have to go through a bunch of those things. I don't know about you, but God puts his word in here for you and I to learn from. So we ought to learn. We ought to pay attention. Each of those hard things. God does not waste a hurt or a painful thing. He will not waste that. He'll use that in your life. We need to trust him to do that. I like this quote. General Oglethorpe once said to John Wesley, "I will never forgive and I will never forget." I think Oglethorpe might have been a little prideful. That's what I get from this. To which Wesley replied, "Then, sir, I hope you never sin." Because there is a holy God. And every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the clock is running. Do it now. Bow that knee and confess you are Lord now. Don't wait. Don't wait. Let's just pray and ask God for this story of Joseph. I'm just going to end it here. Thank you, God. Thank you for your forgiveness, God. Thank you that you forgave me for the sins of past, present, and future. Every sin that I'll ever be involved with, God, you paid for it on the cross. And as you died on the cross, you said, "It is finished." It's a complete work of you canceling out the sins of the world by your grace, by your mercy. It's nothing that we do, God. It's all you. And we give you the glory. We just praise you. We thank you. We do. We bow a knee to you. You are a mighty God. We confess, Jesus Christ, you are Lord and always will be. We love you. We need you desperately in this moment. And I just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.